that is able to keep you from, he can keep you from falling. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighted in his way. And he said this, he said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast out. You won't even see me fall because his hand holds me up. You know how it is when you got a little child, you carrying that little child, you're moving a little fast, his little feet get tangled up and he falls, but you lift him up before he hits the ground. That's what God does for us. So I won't even feel the effects of falling. I won't even skin my knee up because of God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. I have to understand that he's a keeper. Amen. And he, not only is he a keeper, but I need to know his person. I just need to know who he is personally. I need to know the person of God. And when I learn the person of God, I will understand the power of God. He got power. Amen. How many know that God has all power? We keep giving the devil credit for having power. Stop doing that. You got more power than the devil. Did you know that? The reason you have more power than the devil is because he gives you power. God has given you power over all the power of the enemy. He said that. And so why do we keep magnifying the devil? Why do we keep saying how big and bad the devil is in our life? If I'm serving, I ain't got time to fool with the devil. If I'm singing, I ain't got time to entertain the devil. If I'm shouting, I can't even hear the devil. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. If I'm shouting, I can't hear what the devil said about me. I ain't got time. Don't come tell me what he say because I'm too busy shouting. Don't come tell me what he did. I'm too busy serving. Oh, yeah, don't tell me anything else because I'm too busy singing. I don't even notice that the devil's in my way. Come on, because I know that God is God. Amen? And he's given me all power. I know the person, and so I experience the power. And since I experience the power, I know the protection of God and God's provisions that he give me. He said this, and he said, it is he that have made us. He has the power. And not we ourselves, and we are his what? People. And since we're his people, guess what? He protects us. Amen? And he said the sheep of his pasture. Since God protects you, being a sheep of his pasture, you need to realize that God will provide for you. Remember a while back, I preached a message and I talked about how we were in his witness protection program. I'm in God's witness protection program. And when you're in his witness protection program, for those who hadn't heard it before, you got to understand if the United States government, if they put somebody in the witness protection program, they choose a place for them to live. They make sure that they protect them where they live. They make sure they provide the food that they have to eat. Come on and say amen, where they live. So right where you are, right where you're living, God is protecting you. He's providing for you. Come on. But you got to do what he says do. You got to serve. Amen. You got to shout. Come on and say amen. You have to do those things and sing unto the Lord. But we have to realize that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. When I realize that God will provide for me, then I stop worrying about what I don't have. He said, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. So whenever he get ready to write the check, listen, God will give you a raise when you didn't ask for one. I'm a witness. Hallelujah. God will do it for you when you don't ask for it because he is your shepherd. David understood something when he wrote Psalm 23 and said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. He realized that God will provide for me if I let him lead me. If I follow after him, then he'll make sure I have what I need. And when I get down, he'll restore my soul. When I don't have anything to eat, he prepares a table before me, even with my enemies around. I wish I had some help. We're his people and the sheep of his pastor. We got to know his persons, and we'll experience his power and his protection, and he provides for us. Amen.
The Natchitoches Parish Christian Coalition presents the annual area-wide revival, November 13th through 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. nightly. Come and experience a radical praise, a relevant word, a relational worship. Don't miss this revival with guest evangelist Dr. Kurt S. Clark Sr. All happening at the Abundant Life Church, 618 Bend Drive in Natchitoches. The annual area-wide revival, November 13th through 15th at 7 o'clock. Block nightly. We'll see you there.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
God, glory to God. Praise his holy name. Thank you so much. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we say thank you today. This day that you have made, we rejoice and we are glad in. We give you all honor because honor is due your name. We lift you up because you ought to be highly exalted. And Father, we praise none other but you for all of the things you have done, all of the things you are doing, and Lord, all of the things you're getting ready to do. We just praise your holy name. We thank you, God, as we pause and reflect upon how many multitudinous blessings of which we could not count. If we name them one by one, we'd soon run out of memory. But for the fact that you keep us in spite of us, you love us despite of us, we just want to say thank you. Now, God, we've come this morning to praise your name in spite of our trials, our troubles, our struggles, our situations, our complaints. We put all that on the side to say thank you for being better to us than we've been to ourselves. Lord, you've not just brought us some of the way, part of the way, but you brought us all the way. And for that, we say thank you. When we look at all that you in this life, as we account for, keep doing for us, we just say thank you. Thank you is so appropriate over and over and over again. Thank you. Thank you. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we thank you for today. We thank you for waking us. We thank you for bringing us. We thank you for allowing us to be in your house to praise your name, Lord. We could have been dead sleeping in our graves. Some have already been given death sentences, God. But Lord, we just say thank you. It could have been us.
It could have been us. But oh God, we live to give you praise and glory today. Thank you for those who've come from near and far to lift your high and holy name up today. Please bless them and keep them, protect them, cause them to return back home safely. And having had a joyous and wonderful time with family and friends, and more especially with you and the fellowship of the saints. Now God, bless this word today. Bless this work today for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Could you just give it one more thunderous applause? Glory! Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, he's worthy. He's worthy. Amen, amen, amen. I like Reverend Morton. Plan to speak to you from Psalm 100, but like the Lord did her, he did me. He changed that message. And certainly, again, it is an appropriate message for today, Psalm 100. And when you get time to read it, do go through it and read through those five verses. But I want to draw your attention to Mark chapter 4. And I just want to read the last seven verses or seven words of the 38th verse. And it simply says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Master, carest thou not that we perish? This was a question asked in a stormy situation by one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ after they had ministered and Jesus was in the boat. And as he was, he had given a command to move from one side of the sea to the other. And he said, let us pass over to the other side. And he went in the hinder part of the ship and fell asleep. And as the course went, a great storm arose. It would seem somewhat strange that on Thanksgiving we are talking about storms. And we're talking about problems, talking about situations and issues. But I need you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that what makes us thankful, what helps us to be grateful, is the fact that the Lord didn't just bless us through this last year, but the Lord has kept us through this last year. From the last time we celebrated this Thanksgiving Day until this time, all of us cannot stand here and say we've not had one day of trouble. Maybe some of us could, but not all of us can say we've not had one storm since last Thanksgiving. Some of us can say that, but not all of us. Some of us cannot say that we've not been challenged with one thing or another thing, not dealt with one problem or another problem. But through it all, It is a blessing to be able to say, thank you, Jesus. No matter what we've gone through, no matter what we've been through, no matter what we're going through, it is such a blessing to be able to say, to God be the glory for the things he has done. And I'm grateful, one, to be able to say thank you to the Lord. I'm so glad to be seen and not viewed. I can't see you that well, but I know you're here. I hear you in the house. You're a little foggy right now. Can't see out of one eye, but I'm so grateful because it could have been none. But even then, I would have thrown my hands up in the air and said, thank you for just another day. And so storms, Lord wanted to remind me that he's kept us. Blessed us, but yes, kept us through every situation and circumstance that life has dealt our way. And I want you to know, you really are thankful when you can thank him for keeping you in times that are not so good. So these men, my brothers and sisters, are on the ship. There's a great storm that arises. Jesus is not worried. I just want to pick out a few points, and I'm going back to my seat. But Jesus is not worrying because he's asleep. He's asleep because he said, let's pass over. Now again, I just want to throw out parenthetically that when he said what he said, he knew it was going to be that way. So he went on to sleep, which suggested that if you really minister and truly minister, sometime you get worn out. And Jesus didn't wait till he got to the other side to sleep. He went to the back part, the hinder part of the ship, where there was peace and quiet, and went to sleep there. And then a great storm, listen, arose. He went to sleep, the storm arose. His disciples see the water coming into the ship, beating ferociously into the boat. Jesus still asleep. The howling tempest is blowing greatly. Jesus is still sleeping. The men looking at one another, and they're not unfamiliar with water getting in the boat and rains coming and even storms, but this was an unusual storm because it is tagged as a great storm. Which means it was an unusual, uncommon storm. It was a different storm. This was really a storm just to test them. And see, when your storm is to test you and not just a normal storm, you're going to go through some things unlike you would normally go through them. But here's what the preference was. Let us pass over. And it almost seemed as if none of them held on to those words. As the winds got louder and the waters raised up and came into the boat and began to fill it. And then finally, somebody said, Jesus is asleep in the boat. Now, may I suggest to you, first of all, you're blessed. I don't care what storm you go through, if Jesus is in your boat. I say, I don't care what kind of storm you go through, you're blessed if Jesus is in your boat. Now, the Bible says there were other little ships with them. But the story is focusing here on the boat that Jesus is in. And so finally somebody say, we better wake him up. And my question is, for what? If Jesus isn't troubled, in the common vernacular of the young, if he ain't tripping,
Why should you? Listen, if he remained asleep on the boat in this condition, then that should have said to those who were awake, who saw it develop from the beginning to that point, that there ain't nothing to worry about if it wasn't strong enough to wake up Jesus. But the disciple goes and say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Inclusive of Jesus. Well, Jesus wakes up and he arises. Now look at what the word says. He rebukes the wind. He speaks to the sea. And he says, peace be still. Now look, before he even deals with the whining disciples, before he ever deals with the faithless men, he deals with the elements that create the situation. Listen now. The first thing he does is he rebukes the wind because there is a plan there. Even though they're used to test the disciples, there is a plan there to destroy their faith in Jesus. And Jesus rebukes them. Now, I think I need to tell you, he didn't send this storm. He was in this storm. Now, again, he rebukes. He would not have rebuked the wind if he sent the wind. Are you listening to me? But the wind tried to take advantage of him sleeping. And so when the wind rises, when he lays down, the first thing he does is he gets the culprit that causes the trouble. The wind pushes the water. The water fills the boat. The water that's in the boat scares the disciples. The fear makes them wake him up. So he deals with the first thing that's causing all of the trouble. He rebukes the wind. Now look at what happens. The wind settles down. If the wind settles down, the water got to calm down. If the water calms down, it can no longer go into the boat. And if that's the case, they can bail out whatever water is in the boat to make it to the other side. Before he ever deals with them, he deals with what causes them trouble. I need to tell you, look at what he said. Look at what he said. Peace. Be still. Peace. Be still. If Jesus is in your boat and a great storm, I didn't say a storm, I said a great storm. Matter of fact, if ever you're in a storm, great or not, you ought to listen for the words peace. Because there will be some storms you can't handle by yourself, and that's being real. There will be circumstances and situations that seem like it's about to overtake you, and you'll have to cry for them. But all you need to hear are three words. Peace. Be still. What does that mean? Well, first of all, Jesus literally calls peace to stand at attention. And the first thing you need to know is if he says, peace be still, then that suggests that peace can move. I don't believe you got that. In other words, peace is not always in one place. You can have peace one moment, and then the next moment, peace has moved, left, gone, strayed away. But Jesus calls peace as if he's talking to a man. Peace,
John, be still. When Pete heard his name, Pete stood at attention and didn't move. And see, this kind of peace, Jesus already told him on so many different occasions about this peace, even in the writings of Jesus. Jesus said, I got a peace the world don't have. This peace I give you is not like the peace of the world. When I say peace, he's talking about peace. That's the, this peace Jesus had was at least three things. It was stable, stout, and strong. When he said, peace, be still, look at it. First word, stable. It was stable because the peace that Jesus gave had to be able to stabilize the situation. What was real about that storm was there was a waving, moving restlessness, and he called peace in to stabilize things. But here's what you also need to understand, that whatever is stable has to be built on something that's stout. So the foundation was stout because it was built on his word. His word is what gave peace its foundation to remain where it was. And listen, wherever Jesus is, peace abides. But then it was strong because it was stronger than whatever was peaceless. And when Jesus told peace to be still, it had to be stronger than the wind, it had to be stronger than the sea, and it had to be stronger than the fear that the men experienced. So when he called peace, it was a peace that passed all understanding. But what else must peace be? Well, there are three things that peace must be. It must be real, reassuring, and relevant. You see, if the peace is not real, then it cannot fill the void underneath the skin. Listen, only real peace can calm you down in a real storm. That there must be that peace, that reassuring reality that helps you know that everything is going to, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know it's going to work out because he said it's going to work out. There is a reassurance that comes with this peace. I don't know what direction we're going, but I just know we're going to make it to the other side. And then this peace must be relevant. Relevant. In other words, the relevance of this peace must be able to function in the midst of the situation that brings you out of the situation. See, the problem with the peace of the world is things have to be done with, have to be overcome, have to be over before you can get peace in that situation. But with the peace that the Lord gives you, he gives it to you while it's going on. He gives it to you before it's through. He gives it to you so that you can be calm in the midst of a storm. When folk are expecting you to throw your hands up and surrender, you throw them up in praise. Because there is a peace that you know God's got this thing fixed. And that's relevant peace. That's the kind of peace that the believer need to demonstrate in every situation we find ourselves faced with. Be it small or be it great, be it numerous or be it one or singular, we must always have the relevant peace of Jesus Christ. And listen at this. And then it says, peace be still. It must be unwavering. The waves kept everything in turmoil, topsy-turvy. But when peace comes and steals things, there must be a great calm. You know, one of the things